When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Thought Leader Thursday, Rod Murray, he is here. He's the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve.
I wish you would bring an end to the bad weather that we're having lately and the snow. And I think it's, I don't know about you, but I'm over winter.
I'm ready for spring to happen yesterday. It's been one of the longest I've seen.
Well, I wanted to direct our conversation today to some banking trends for 2019. And we've sort of kind of talked around some of these, but there's some of them are taking shape now. And one of them is involved something that I don't know that we've really talked about a lot, and that's the idea about open banking. Can you tell us what open banking is and why that would be a trend this year?
Yeah, open banking is more of a conceptual that banks share information not only with each other, but with through their third parties. So you know, right now we're very protectionist, and we have a lot of walls up to keep each other's information very secure. But the pressure is, and the trend is, that an open banking mentality will help the consumer ultimately and be something that can be still regulated and keep the protections in place from a high level.
So are we talking about, for instance, let's use JP Morgan Chase as an example, and their relationship with Zelle. Is that, or would it be another separate third fintech that a bank is affiliated with? And what are they doing with the open banking? Are they just sharing data, or are they sharing services?
Yeah, they're sharing data, and they're sharing their innovation. So it is, the example you gave is would be an example of it. But you know, specifically, they've created this financial data exchange, which some of the big banks are already a part of in 2018, just to get standards set so that they can safely share the information and address any risks to the open banking. And then it ties to, as you said, the third parties, you know, the fintechs, and how each of them would work with the third party and what the agreements and the protections are around that on the sharing of the data.
This is all a big topic because one of the other sort of co-trends with that is that customers want to be in control, more control of their data. Even from a consumer level, we want to know what's happening with our money. We want to know everything about our account and kind of keep an eye on it.
It makes sense. And personally, right, that's something that I think is a nice change and a good change. The technology is helping that. So I think the big banks will be the leaders in that space just because of the technology and the money spend. But they estimate that sometime, and you know, within the next year, I think 2/3 of all of our consumer banking accounts, so what we do personally, will have controls that allow us to say how much data can flow in and out of the third parties.
And this is all a big deal because they're security. I mean, I know at Associated, you focus a lot on security. You want to keep all of our data secure.
You want to keep it secure, and who has your data? And I mean, this just allows for not just the marketing calls that you may or may not want, but the security feature that allows too much information, that allows for identity theft and the whatnot.
We pulled some of the other trends from AmericanBanker.com, and we've talked about online lending before. This is going to become a bigger deal as we move forward in the year, according to this report. The part of it that's going to change is that banks will become faster at online lending and using artificial intelligence and other technologies to do that.
I think that, yes, and I think the key of all of this and the articles that you and I read and what you see is just how quickly all this is happening. And so the big takeaway is if you're not doing this as a bank or as a non-bank financial lender, if you're not already looking into this, you're behind because it's coming so fast and so quickly. And partnering with the fintechs and partnering with the AI, I can't believe it, right, that you think of AI, artificial intelligence, and you think manufacturing, maybe distribution, but it's in our industry as well of some basic data exchanging, you know, moving data from one point to another point, and that's in our industry now. So if you're not looking at either of those pieces, whether it's online lending with the partnering with the fintech or the AI, you're probably behind the eight ball right now.
And this is a very important because it's your retail clients. It's small businesses that are demanding this, right? They want this new service.
They want this new service. Right. And if you don't do it, you're going to be left in the cold. And the what they call the The fintechs and the challenger banks, you know, as well are going to go way ahead of the regular banking industry if we don't get there, because it's all about consumer demand.
We talk a lot about fintechs, and you can attest to this. A bank is you have to do so much red tape. There's so many regulations that you have to adhere to. But the fintechs really aren't governed by a lot of this, and that is probably going to change this year.
Yeah, that will definitely get more oversight. And there was certainly, you know, I can't remember the exact term, and I won't state the company, but there was some hits of presentations or representations made of how the money was protected and what backed it, and it turned out not to be true. So that's going to get more and more scrutiny and more oversight, because you're right, we talk about that all the time, of what's the protections and who's regulating it.
Do you think that the FDIC is going to end up covering stuff at fintechs, some of these other non-banks?
I don't know if it's the FDIC, but something similar to it. Okay. You know, there's another FDIC-like. I believe it's the SIPC, and we have a lot of acronyms in our industry. So eventually, I think that's where it probably should go, is either FDIC or the secondary group. They merge together and work together, because I don't really think you want both of them going. If the fintechs are going to grow at the pace that they are, do you really want two completely separate industries that have two separate roles, sets of roles?
And then there are all kinds of other trends too. The technology is just—it seems like it's moving so fast. But the idea that you can have an app on your phone, a banking app, that will enable you to withdraw cash directly, so you don't have to stick a card in a machine. I'm guessing the way this works is you just hold the app maybe up to an ATM machine, and that's how it's going to work from here on out.
Right. So either with that if you've lost your card or if it's stolen, you can still have access to your money. You know, you could also use the codes, those QR codes, I believe, that they have on the app that is right there with you all the time to withdraw the money. And then eventually, right, it's going, the next big thing will be the biotech or the bio checks on making sure that you are who you are.
And how much of a player is Apple Pay becoming? I know in the last week or two, and it doesn't have to be Apple Pay, but there are a bunch of other different services like this. But I use Apple Pay as an example, because I'm at Chase. We now have the ability to use Apple Pay for everything connected to our Chase account. That wasn't the case just a couple of months ago.
Yes, it's similar concept. The Apple Pays and the similar instruments are what everybody wants to use. You're using it, I'm using it, but the generations that are coming up, you know, especially the Generation Z, completely comfortable with all of this, and that's what they expect. Mm-hmm. You know, we might have still some comfort issues in it, but the next generations will demand this, and that's the, you know, instant. It's the way, you know, whether you'll call it real time, but just the ability to use your phone or an app. That's what the next generations are demanding.
I was going to bring up blockchain, but I think you're probably still trying to figure this out, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's on the list of everybody's trends this year. Blockchain has become a bigger thing, and I feel like I still don't understand it.
Yeah, blockchain, cryptocurrency. Yeah. Similar, topics. I mean, I think the interesting news that's of recent is on the cryptocurrency. You know, you've had two major banks now, two publicly traded banks in the U.S. that have created their own cryptocurrency. So,
yeah, J.P. Morgan Chase is the latest.
Right. They're the latest one, and Signature, publicly traded bank out of New York, two completely different sized banks, but they've created their own cryptocurrency.
Yeah. And the J.P. Morgan Chase one is interesting, because you remember Jamie Dimon back maybe 6 or 7 months ago said, I don't understand this, it's a fraud, I'm not going to be involved in it. It's interesting to see his evolution.
Yeah, and part of his comments, I think, were surrounding the regulation of it. And if it's within the JP Morgan or within the big banks, it has to be under the umbrella of a regulated currency or industry.
One other trend that I think is kind of cool, and I think we're probably getting there. I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but biometric identification. Are we going to have eyeball sensors or hand sensors, or how is this going to work at my local bank?
Yeah, that's what, the technology that they're building is, it's no longer something that is way out there on the future curve. It's not it might be nice to have. It will eventually probably be a have to have. Within it. So whether that is retina recognition or some other version of thumbprint, et cetera, the biometric is coming around the corner. And I think that one day we're going to wake up and all of a sudden it will be here.
Yeah. Let's talk about something cool. If you're following the election process in Chicago, Amara Enya, who's running for mayor, suggested that perhaps a public bank could work in Chicago for a number of different things. One of them perhaps to fund entrepreneurs and local projects. The other perhaps to for marijuana companies, as marijuana becomes legal, to deposit in those. Talk to us a little bit about a public bank. What is a public bank, and how far-fetched of an idea or not is this?
It's not completely far-fetched because it exists and it's happened. And it's gotten a lot of traction in the last couple of years, but it's existed since 1919. You know, the first public bank came out of North Dakota. So it exists, and that's a state bank. I think that what she's talking about is a city bank, but a state-owned bank from the public. And that came out of a time when the farmers were, you know, believing that the interest rates were really high for what they did, and then the grain producers. So they created this public bank in order to not just lend money to them, but it was more of lending to the small community banks. They did it more side by side than doing the direct lending. Now today, you know, that's about a $7 billion bank in North Dakota. You know, so to give scale, that's good size, bigger than most community banks, but it's still, you know, far behind the $2.6 trillion that your biggest bank in the United States is, with a T. But they're now doing infrastructure lending and doing things like that. And what she's talking about is using public funds. How it works is using money that all the city of Chicago or the government entities have, and putting it, instead of having it at all the banks, having it at the public bank. And then using that for different types of lending is what the current talk about is about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ideas on there. The perhaps low interest student loans to people, kids who live in Chicago and going to school. But I brought up the marijuana idea because, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, there are a lot of reasons why a bank wouldn't accept marijuana money right now, even if it's legal business, right?
Correct. It's still a very gray area, very murky on can the public or can the big banks do it. If you're a federally or a national bank, you're staying away from this. So, you know, you look at the states that have legalized it on a state level, and they're either using cash, which is almost unheard of, or they're putting their money into maybe very locally owned private state banks, and that's the only place they can put it. So to that degree, you know, the public bank could work for that. I don't like the idea of people having cash, you know, sitting around. And frankly, we talk about this all the time, the regulations, does it protect the ability to launder money or do anything else? So is there protectionism there? So that would be the positive of it. There's a lot of, I think, negatives, and there are certainly a lot of headwinds against it, but that would be one thing that would be a positive outcome there.
Do you think, and back to the trends part of this, that the federal government is going to have to make some rules about companies being allowed to bank in places where marijuana is legal? Do you think that this is going to have to be addressed by the federal government?
I think it is. I mean, it's my personal opinion. It has to. But I don't know if it'll happen real soon. You know, there's still some debate. But over time, it's going to have to happen because it's becoming, you know, the gray is becoming a little bit less gray. And certainly the banks and the companies that do this are looking for, you know, some clarity on this. And frankly, you know, they probably deserve some. If the voters decide this is going to be something that's legalized across the entire country, then the government's going to have to solve for that.
And we're talking about companies that have been legally formed. And a lot of money, too, that they're going to need to bank.
Right. It's so that's just it. A lot of money now, and that is going to grow and grow. You know, that's certainly the projection, and the discussion points is that it will be a growing industry. And if it does, you know, as the money grows, it becomes fraught with more potential of not just that folks will want to make money off of that money, but it comes fraught with potential fraud and what protections and what instruments do they need to run their company, you know, from just a moving money type standpoint.
Rod, great conversation. How can people get in touch with you personally?
Sure thing. So can call me anytime at 312-544-4515, or my email is rodney.murray@associatedbank.com.
All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Rod Murray is the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. It's Thought Leader Thursday. Our conversation here every week and also online at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page. And follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. Also over to AssociatedBank.com/ThoughtLeadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there.